Hi, thank you. So my name is Catherine Davis, and I'm finishing up my master's at Kansas State University. And this is a project I talked about on Monday to another one of the groups. So it's the same project, but looking at the economics behind using a multi-species cover crop and looking at the grazing component of that. So, yeah, we all know what cover crops are, and there are many benefits for soils. In Kansas, as the earlier map showed, there's a fairly low adoption rate. There's, of the 21 million acres harvested for cropland each year, only 1.5% of that's using cover crops. And those numbers may change when the next census comes out next year, but this is the most current data we have right at the moment. I feel like I see a lot of cover crops driving through the state, so that may very well have changed. But one of the reasons farmers may not be using cover crops could be associated with the cost involved with the establishment and termination of those cover crops. And this is from SARE. Last year they did the survey, and they talked about why are farmers interested in using cover crops. And the top four reasons were all related to soil organic matter and reducing erosion, but fairly high up on that list was also grazing. And so this project is looking at if you were going to graze a multi-species cover crop, what species produce the most biomass, and also what did a legume make a difference in that? Because these are fall planted, so these are planted in the middle of August, and then I clip these at 45, 74, and 91 days after. So clip them at the end of September, end of October, and the middle of November. And at that time, does that give that plant enough time to fix nitrogen, and does that increase the protein content in the forage? And so these were clipped at three different times in the fall, but I'm just going to talk about the 74-day clipping period. So they were planted August 12th, and then they were clipped about the end of September in both years. Site location is far southeast corner of Kansas, and this for those of you who aren't from Kansas and might think of it as a very dry state, there is a huge concentration precipitation gradient going across the state. So some places in the far west area only get 13 to 14 inches of rainfall a year. This particular spot gets about 45 inches of rainfall, just to give you an idea on the precipitation. So Parsons silt loam soil, and they were clipped 74 days after planting. Treatment combinations. So these were three-way mixtures, each representing a species from the three main plant families a lot of the cover crops are coming from. So from brassica species, we have either turnip or radish. For a grass species, either wheat, rye, barley, or oat. And then for a legume species, either winter pea or bursteen clover. So this was a 2x4x2 factorial design. Move the mouse. Okay. That fixes that. Okay, so the 16 treatments all consisted of a species representing all of these species were in the combination. So this is a picture of what the plots looked like 45 days after planting. This plot has turnips and rye growing in it. So, and you probably can't see it from the picture, but looking across that, you can see like some of the mixtures were dominated more by brassicas and some were dominated more by grasses. And what I did is I went out there, clipped an area, brought it back to the lab, sorted it out. So this would be a picture of radish, rye, and winter pea, and then dried it and ground it and ran forage quality. So the economics of it. For the economics, I'm only comparing the seed cost. I'm not including the other labor equipment cost, just between the different species, what do they cost? This is a little bit like if you go to Panera Bread and they've got a U-Pick 2. This is a U-Pick 3. So you pick from each of the three groups, you pick one species and throw those together, and that mix would give you the total cost to plant that mixture. So some of these cost more, some of these cost less. Among the grass species, the oat is the cheapest at $21.70 to plant a hectare. And then between brassica species, the turnip was cheaper than the radish, and both of the legume species were pretty expensive to plant. So the next couple tables I'm going to take you through are looking at, between the brassica species, which one did better between the turnip and radish. And Just to explain the table, this is showing you between turnip and radish, the seed cost per hectare, and you can see that the radish cost almost twice as much as the turnip to plant. And then the next column over is in 2014, the biomass produced in megagrams per hectare. So the radish produced almost twice as much biomass as the turnip did. But then when those numbers are related back to the cost, the fact that it cost about twice as much to plant the radish, there was no difference in 2014 between the two as far as the amount of biomass you received per dollar spent on seed. And then in 2015, there was a difference in both. Just a side note, in 2014, at 74 days, the brassicas across all 16 treatments were about 80% of the total biomass. And in 2015, they were only about 15% of the overall biomass. So the overall biomass is less, but you still saw that by spending more on the radish, you got more biomass from that. And so, obviously, we can't control the weather, and some years are going to be more favorable for one species over another. Between grass species, the barley and the oat, the oat produced the greatest amount of biomass, followed by barley, and there was no difference between wheat and rye. And I know many people feel like cereal rye is a very popular cover crop. I think in this situation, it was planted August 12th in 2014 and August 21st in 2015, and in this area, it's still pretty hot, and a lot of people would normally plant the rye about the middle or end of September instead of that early right in this area. I know farther east, farther north, you could totally do that. So, every year is different, every area is different, but I think in this place the rye didn't establish, it was spotty. But the same pattern was observed in 2015 where the oat produced the greatest amount of biomass followed by barley, and then the wheat and the rye both didn't do great. And then between legume species, Brassine clover did not do very good in this area at all. So we planted it, and there was very, very rare, spotty. Occasionally you find one, you're like, oh, I found a piece of clover. But in the mixes, it was almost non-existent. And so obviously the pea is going to produce much more biomass. It was much lower in 2014 because the brassicas were dominating and outcompeting the peas and the grasses. And then in 2015, the overall legume biomass was about 20% of the mixture. And obviously the pea is going to do better because the clover was almost non-existent. And the next component of this is looking at taking, so there's 16 treatments, 8 of them had winter pea as the legume species, and 8 of them had Brassine clover as legume species. And since there was really essentially almost no Brassine clover, assuming that there's none in those mixes, that provided the opportunity to compare a grass plus a brassica to a grass plus brassica plus a legume species. And just comparing the seed cost, first column is showing that it cost almost twice as much to plant the legume added significantly to the cost. But it did not increase the biomass significantly, but it did increase the biomass per dollar spent quite a bit. And the other idea of this would be that having a legume would increase your nitrogen, which would increase your protein. So if you were going to graze this, maybe that would be a valuable component of it. And between the mixes that had legume versus those that did not, there was not, at this clipping period, any difference in the amount of protein in there. But it did, of course, increase the cost of protein from the mixes. Now, that's not to say there wouldn't have been differences in the protein if this was clipped later in the fall, maybe in the spring, or if these were planted at different times. But for something planted in August and then clipped at the end of October, there wasn't a difference in the protein content. And then in 2015, this was the same story of there was not a significant amount more of increased biomass, but there was a significant amount of costs associated with that. And again, there was no difference in the protein content between the two different years, but it almost doubled the cost having the legume in there. So the conclusions for that would be that the most economical mixtures of the ones we planted contained turnip and oat, because these were both the They produce the greatest amount of biomass in relation to the dollar spent on seed. And that's the thing with the mixtures. It's like, well, what do you plant? Well, if you plant a mixture, probably whatever's most competitive in that year is going to do better. So it would be nice to optimize it for, like, the best mixture in your area, but you can't always control the weather. And so it's not always a practical thing. But in these mixes, barley and oat produced more biomass than the wheat and rye. And like I said earlier, I think that's due to it was hot in the middle of August and, you know, Midwest, hot, humid. And I think they just didn't do well. And then adding the legume did not increase the protein, but it did increase the cost of the mix. And so, yeah, I'd like to thank my funding source, the Great Plains Grazing Cap and Kansas State University and everyone else. So, do you all have questions? Yes.
Is there any reason why the seed didn't succeed? Was it like a moisture or wind competition?
I don't know why it didn't succeed in this area. So the question was, why did Brasseum not succeed? And we also had some monoculture planted that were not replicated, but also on the side, and Brasseum didn't do well there either. It, in general, is less competitive and a slower emerging plant. So I think within the mixes, it wasn't as competitive, but I think it just also didn't do well.
Do you think the heat
has
something to do with it?
It might have. Yes. Yes. Okay. The question was, how were the cover crops planted? And they were done with a no-till drill. The plots were 10 foot wide, in strips. So you're just asking if they're they were drilled.
That can be a challenge to plant multiple things in one pass.
That certainly can, because you have the different seeding depths that are optimized, and Brasseum clover, and you've got things that should go a quarter of an inch, things that should go a half inch, things that should. Right. So, yes, that is a challenge. I believe this for this, they were kind of averaged, and they just all went in at one depth. But, yes, you're going to have competitiveness differences with that.